right, most of you realize this, but for those of you that do not, Brother Yologist is getting, they're loading him up in the ambulance. They are deciding, based on his vitals, whether he's going to go to the nearest hospital or go to his hospital. We'll know that in a few moments. But while I'm going to have Brother Taylor pray aloud for Brother Yala, while he's praying aloud for Brother Yala, we ask you to pray for him silently, that God will help him get him to the right place and take care of him at this time.
Father, we're thankful for Brother Yala and all the years that he's been here and his faithfulness to you. Now, Lord, I ask that you would be close to him, help him feel your presence. And then we ask, Lord, that you would help the medical folks to find what it is that they could do to help him. Bless him. We ask that you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. And we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled. Joyful all ye nations arise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel here. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Slight update, they said that does not look like it was a stroke or heart attack by the symptoms. His vitals are stable, and they're going to take him to the hospital that they requested rather than the closest one. Continue to keep him in prayer. Still don't know why he passed out. She says he's had some times where he was dizzy, but again, she said he has never passed out before, so keep him in prayer, and we're going to continue on. Father, bless now the time we have together. Bless the preaching, the singing, the specials in here, and the stuff going on out back in Children's Church. Continue to be with Brother Yala and take care of him for us, if you would, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, we're going to sing Jesus Led Me All the Way. Play that one more time.
Someday life journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Me step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way, and hitherto my Lord have led. Today he guides each step I tread, and soon in heaven it... Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way.
It is always a privilege for us to have people visiting with us. If you're here for the first time, or the first time in a long time, if you'd slip your hand up for just a moment, our ushers will come by and give you a visitor's package. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? We don't want to miss anyone. Yes, young lady right over here, Brother Moss. Anyone else? Don't want to miss you? Anyone else? First time in a long time. If you'll fill out that green card and put that in the offering a little bit, we'd appreciate that. We would normally shake hands during this time. We're not going to do that. Mr. AI, are you close with the microphone? And Sean, walk out and tell the guys, I'll need a microphone to preach. So used to Brother Nicholas preaching, but he's not here this morning, so I'll need that. AI, you don't have one? All right, I'll do some announcements while you get one. We'll take just a couple moments since it's Thanksgiving this week. How many of you had family for Thanksgiving? That was a blessing to see family, and again, it was a blessing, my blessing this week. I'd been praying for some of my grandchildren. I have some grandchildren that were not saved, and I was able to lead my granddaughter, Haley, some of you know who she is, it's Rachel's daughter, and her stepsister, Jessica, to the Lord. That was a blessing to see both of them get saved Thursday night after the Thanksgiving dinner. But again, as a grandpa, one of the biggest things, all my children are saved and on the way to heaven. So the next thing that I worried about was my grandkids. And I still have a grandson that's not saved. So if you'll keep him in prayer, we'd appreciate that. But again, blessing to see family. And that was a good thing this week. All right, AI's got the microphone. Anyone over in this section with a blessing? Anyone with a blessing? God's been good to you this week. Anyone with a blessing? Anyone with a blessing? Mrs. Howard down front.
I'm just glad.
Just one second, we'll be right there.
I'm glad that I was able to talk to my dad a few seconds. He can't hear real good, but at least I know that he's doing good and he's staying at home and not going all over the place. And my stepmom's doing a little better.
Good. So just Miss Molly right behind you has one. Miss Molly.
I'm glad my granddaughter got to come to church with me today.
Good. What's this granddaughter's name?
Summer.
Summer? I might remember that. I'm bad with names, but I might remember Summer. Good to have you. Anyone else in this section? All right. AI, Mr. Mitchell in the back, and then we'll head in this other direction.
I had a blessing this week. I got a chance to go down to Glen Rose and see the dinosaur tracks. They're about 4,500 years old, even though they think they're millions, but the Bible says they're 4,500 years old. And I believe that. On the way back, I was moving kind of fast, and I passed a patrol car. He pulled me over and only gave me a warning, so I thank God for that. Amen.
Yeah.
God is good to me.
Yeah, warnings are much better than tickets. Anyone in this section with a blessing? God's been good to you. Anyone else? You want to introduce us, tell us who this young lady is that just came in?
My mother.
Hi, Mom. Good to have you today. Anyone in this? Mrs. Taylor?
I thank the Lord that he allowed Ben to get home safely from Kuwait.
Good. That's a blessing, too. Anyone else in this section before we move on? All right, over in this last section. Anyone over here with a blessing? Mr. Sean has one. Then go to Mrs. Plumstead first. There you go.
I'm so thankful that God loved me so much that he sent his son here. And also for the children he gave me who have been a tremendous blessing this past few months.
Man, good. Good to see you, Mrs. Plumstead.
It was a blessing to have my sister visit from college.
Yeah, Tatiana got to come down for a few days. That was a blessing. She headed back yesterday. So, how many of you ever ridden the bus, the Greyhound bus? I have a time or two. They're not. I did not realize that they stop at every town. I mean, I don't know. I got on it because I was going up to Kansas to see my to meet my wife or something, and she was with her relatives. And I thought, I did not realize. I thought they would stop at the big towns, but they stop. I mean, they stop at every. It's almost like every town, and they don't stay, but it's just a few seconds at some of those towns. But again, they stop it. So it's really hard to sleep on a Greyhound bus.
I just thank the Lord that the flea market is still open with the soul winning booth, but instead of opening 10 extra days, they're only going to be open 3.5 extra days for Christmas. But then besides that, the Lord gave me a bonus. I won the door prize of $50 to spend there.
All right. Anyone else in this section? All right. Thank you, Mr. AI. As far as the announcements, don't forget to... Oh.
Oh, Brother Block has a blessing. I'll let him share those. But I got to see Brother Block with a whole passel of his grandkids. And he was fishing with them. And then when they started to lose interest in fishing and they saw me with the four-wheeler and the wagon, they wanted to get in that. And then I pleaded with Brother Block, take the four-wheeler with your grandkids and haul them around. And sure enough, I get to see him do that. It was a huge blessing to see that.
I already gave my blessing before you got in here. Yeah.
Amen.
You got to get here a little sooner. You know, you missed stuff. So don't forget to be back in your place tonight at 6 o'clock for the evening service, and then Wednesday night 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. Thursday night, soul winning, 6:45. We're back on our regular schedule. Last week it was Tuesday because of the Thanksgiving holiday, but this week Thursday, 6:45 for soul winning. Then Saturday, bus visitation at 9:30, and then regular soul winning at 10:45. Back in our places for Sunday school at 9:45, church at 10:50. Again, as I mentioned, for those of you that came in late, Brother Yala, keep him in prayer. Also, if you pray for my wife, she's had migraines and been throwing up some this week because of the migraines. And then also, Brother Nichols, pray for him. He called me yesterday. He's not feeling well, so pray for Brother Nichols and Mrs. Nichols, and you should be praying for them every day, whether they have stuff going on with them or not. Just pray for them every day. Don't forget to continue to pray for our country. And then again, don't forget to be faithful to, again, the holiday seasons, it's easy to get out of church. Because the relatives and friends and stuff come in. And again, I've told you, I'm so thankful my dad set the borders for me as a child and as a teenager. My dad never missed church for relatives. The relatives had two choices. If they came to visit us on a church day, they could go to church with us, or they could stay at the house and we'd be back after church to visit some more. But we didn't miss church because of them. You say, well, if they came from hundreds of miles, it didn't matter. And by the way, there should never, you and I ought to always set the principle as parents to our kids that nothing is more important than church. Nothing. I'm talking about nothing. I mean, again, years ago, I'm still a Spurs fan. I'm not real wild about what they've done in the last few months. But years ago, I was even a bigger Spurs fan than I am today. And Dr. Kellum one day offered, when my son and I was over there, Joshua was over there, my youngest son at the doctor's, and he asked Joshua, are you a Spurs fan? Of course, my Joshua said yes. I don't remember if he was or not, but I was. And so he said, you know, I got season tickets. One of these days when I'm not using mine, I'll send them across. Brother Kellum and I, we've been dealing with each other for years. So, and again, he's been my family doctor for many years as well. But he said, I've got season tickets. I'll give you my season tickets sometimes. And then I got thinking, oh, man, a lot of ball games on Sundays and Wednesdays. Someone asked me, if he gives you season tickets on Sundays and Wednesdays, will you go? And I said, no, I'm not going to miss church. They said, but this is a once in a life. And again, I did not realize how once in a lifetime experience it was. And I didn't realize how good a tickets he had. But when he finally did drop them off, thank goodness they went out on a church night. And he told us to go early. And he gave me the tickets. And we had to go trade them in. We went in, got to eat a meal before, and had a big meal. They had those warmer things and all the fancy foods there. The dessert table was. I mean, every time we left, one time I went to get some extra food for my son, came back and my plate was gone. And I called the lady, came out, I said, where's my plate? She said, and the waiter says, every time you leave a plate on the table, we take it and you have to get a new plate. And I said, I was still eating that stuff. So I learned not to leave, so because he'd wanted something, and all he cared about was the dessert, because there was lots of dessert. But then we got to go sit down, and here's the scorer's table where Sean Elliott and those guys sit. We was in chair one and chair two. We were sitting on the floor, and I have pictures. My son, the ball would roll over. My son would grab the ball and haul at one of the guys. And when they turned to look at us and wave at my son, I'd take a picture. And after the ball game, and again, that was back when one of my sports heroes was playing, David Robertson, The game was over. I was turning around, getting all the stuff off the floor, getting my stuff ready to go. And my son begins to say, his hand was so big. He shook my hand. His hand was so big, Dad. And I turned around and said, whose hand was so big? And David Robinson's walking away. My son got to shake David Robinson's hand while I was turning around picking up the stuff off the floor. And he was just telling me how big David Robinson's hand is. So, but again, it was a blessing. But again, I'd already told him, if they're on Sunday and Wednesday night, we will have to turn them back in. We are not going to miss church. To go to a ball game or anything like that. So again, holiday seasons, make sure you put the Lord first. The truth is, we have nothing, we wouldn't have anything to be thankful for if it wasn't because of Him. And then Christmas is all about Him, His birth. So make sure you don't forget Him during the holiday seasons.
All right, let's all stand. We're going to sing My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Father, as always, I want to thank You for all the many blessings that You have given us, and ask You to watch over Brother Yala this afternoon and make sure the doctors take care of him good. We ask You to bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver, and hope it would be efficient to meet the needs here at the church. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, since Brother Nichols is not here, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I believe it's one of his favorite songs. He tells the story every time. This was written at the Civil War. We think we're having issues now. I mean, brothers were fighting against brothers. So when we sing this song, as you listen to the words and sing those words and think about the words, that was written during the Civil War, right at the end of it. That was a torrential time in our history. So just think about those words as we sing. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I don't guess this is really a traditional Christmas song, but it does tell why the King of the universe came to earth, because he loved us more. Why would a king leave his throne and his crown to come to earth as a stranger? And why would he leave the safety of heaven in exchange for all earthly danger? It was more than my mind can conceive, yet my heart, I believe more than the crown, more than the throne, more than the heavens that he called home. It all because he loved us more. God's only Son became Son of Man, bringing the plan of salvation. That great Lamb of God gave his life for a ransom to buy redemption for all generations. Because of his love, a world that was lost, he chose to suffer the shame of the cross, more than the crown, more than the throne, more than the heavens that he called home, more than all of these, he loved you and me. Then he left it all because he loved us more than the crown, more than the throne, more than the heavens that he Jesus left it all because he loved us more.
Open your Bible to Psalms. We'll be there. Looking at a couple different verses, we'll start in Psalms 86, Psalms chapter 86. We're going to look at one verse there, and then we will look at a verse in Psalms 103, Psalms 86. There are some things from the Bible that when I preach, I know very little about. This is something that I know quite a bit about in the sense that I've had to use this. There are lots of things that, again, in the Bible, I'm a novice, but when it comes to what we're talking about this morning, we're going to be talking about the fact that we have a forgiving God. You say, what do you mean you have a lot of experience in this? I mean, I've had to ask God many, many, many times to forgive me for stuff. We'll look at a verse in a little bit where it talks about how many times should Peter asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive someone? He said seven times, and the Lord told him seven times 70. Now, again, that's 490 times. I can tell you this. I don't know of anyone that's ever done the same thing to me, any human that's done the same thing to me 490 times. But I can tell you as a Christian, as a child of God, I have, and again, especially those of us that have besetting sins, and don't be a Pharisee, you have one too. Yours might not be what mine is, but we all have besetting sins. I've had to ask God, I guarantee you, more than 490 times since I've been saved as a nine-year-old boy, to forgive me for the things that I have committed. So as I told you, I have some experience when it comes to using the forgiveness of God. I used it the first time when I got saved at age 9, and he forgave me at that time for all the sins I had committed in the past. And then I've had to, probably more often than even praying for food, and I do pray for my food every time I eat. You say, Brother Block, you eat a lot. I know. But I've had to pray for forgiveness more than I've prayed for my food. And by the way, if you want to do what Brother Nicholas often has said, Brother Nicholas has often said, when it comes to your tab of sin, keep the tab, keep a short tab. What it means is rather than wait till, I mean, once a week, try to confess all your sins, it's good as soon as you commit it. The Holy Spirit usually fusses at you. That's what one of his jobs His job is to fuss at us after we do wrong things or say wrong things or act the wrong way. When he fusses at you, that's the time to get it right. You might forget about it later. That's the time to take care of it. But today we're going to look at this thought. We have a forgiving God. Notice Psalm chapter 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good. If we just stop there, that would be that again, that's saying a lot. We have a God that's very, very good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalms 103 in your Bible. Psalm 103, just over a few chapters. Psalm 103, verse 3 says this, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Notice the phrase, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. We have a forgiving God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for this is one of your attributes, one of the things that, Lord, that you do and you do for us regularly. Lord, you not only hear our prayers, but Lord, you forgive our sins when we ask you. I'm so thankful that you do that at the very beginning when we become your child. Then because of the fact that we're in your family, we fail you many times after that. You keep forgiving us when we ask you for that as well. And I pray, Lord, if there is one here this morning that's never asked you to forgive them of their sins in the first place, they've never been saved, I pray, Lord, this morning would be the time for that. Then for all the rest of us, I pray, Lord, you help us to realize and be thankful for the fact that we have a forgiving God. I ask you to take the glory and the Lord, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a forgiving God. Now, again, I can tell you, my parents used to ask me, they didn't really ask me, they told me. Sometimes I would do something to my brothers. Now, again, some of you may have had a different home life than me. My brothers and I fought sometimes. Now, I realize not all kids do that. I realize some of you are angels and you never fought with your brother or sister. Now, I can tell you this, I never fought with my sister, not once. Not once. I was really good about that. I never fought with my sister once. And the main reason for that was because I didn't have any sisters. But I did. See, some of you thought, oh, wow, you're such a good fella. I didn't have any sisters. All I had was brothers. And so, my brothers and I sometimes would fight. And sometimes when I would do something wrong to my brother, my mom would say, you need to tell your brother he's sorry. And I did that. I would look to my brother and I would say, you're sorry. And my mom did not think that was very funny for some reason. I thought it was hilarious. My mom did not think that was funny. And I usually got in more trouble for my smart mouth than I was already in. And I was usually in trouble anyway. My brothers think this is funny when teenagers go back. Sometimes when folks go back and meet my brothers, they like to tell stories about me. Now, the good news is I don't remember most of them. That's the one good thing that comes from getting old. You just don't remember stuff. But again, sometimes, and I think they make stuff up. I'm not for sure. But I do know this is true. And the one thing that they often tell people that is true is I was the one who got caught. Kind of like in basketball, the other guy fouls you, you foul him back, you get the foul called on you. Now, that really stinks, but that sometimes happens. And that was the case with me. My brothers could do something to me. I would do something back to them. I would get caught. I would try to explain to mom and dad I was not the one that started it. And, of course, then I'm the one that's getting the spanking. And what makes it worse is I look over at them, and you know what they're doing? They're smiling. They're laughing. They think that's hilarious that I'm getting in trouble for something that they started. And they used to say that was because of the fact that I always got caught. So they thought it was hilarious that I got. Now, again, I can tell you this. I didn't get as many whippings as I deserved because I deserved a lot. Now, I've got several. But, again, Dad could have spanked me every. He could have just came home and spanked me, and it would have, I mean, you say, what did he spank you for? There was plenty. I mean, he wouldn't even have to know the reason, but because I was pretty ornery. So that's why when my children were ornery, my wife would sometimes say, and I would say, baby, we bring forth after our kind. I mean, that's sorry about that. You should have checked in a little bit more before you married me. But the truth is, I have some experience when it comes to have to ask for forgiveness. And by the way, if you're going to be the child of God that has a right relationship with God, you're going to have to as well. Now, you may not have to ask as much as I do, but I guarantee you this, because you say, how do you know, Brother Block? You don't know me that well. No, I don't, but God does, and God says that we're all sinners. And in a minute, when we look at a verse, he talks about, there's a verse that says, if we confess our sins. He did not say if we confess our sin. Sin means singular. Sins means plural. You know what plural means? Many. Several. More than one. Now, again, I'm so glad that we have a forgiving God. God is a forgiving God. Now, if he kept all our offenses and just kept piling them up and kept piling them up, I can guarantee you this, it would be a terrible pile. It'd be a monstrous pile. But again, God doesn't do that. He is a forgiving God. And I appreciate the fact that he's a forgiving God. The truth is, he forgave me as a nine-year-old boy of my sins. And I've told people this. I've sinned more since I got saved than I did before I was saved. God didn't save me from a lifestyle of wickedness. Again, I was a nine-year-old boy. Now, I know that some of you had experienced sin in a lot bigger way than I had. So when you got saved, you actually probably even appreciated it more than I did. Because as a nine-year-old boy, I didn't necessarily... Now, I appreciate the fact that I was going to get heaven as my home, but I didn't necessarily appreciate the fact as much as someone that had got saved from a life of sin. I know there's folks here that got saved in their late teenage years or got saved in their adult years. And that's why I said I've committed more sins after I got saved than I did before I was saved. I had good parents, so my parents were on me. My parents had some rules. My parents had regulations. My parents, again, were very moral even before they got saved. Now, again, there are people that don't have mortal parents till their parents get saved, and then God changes them. But my parents were already saved. I remember the one thing that my mom was worried the most about having to give up when she got saved was she was worried she was going to have to give up her Elvis music. Now, today, Elvis would be a Christian musician compared to the stuff that's out there today. But back then, Elvis was considered one of the most wicked singers there was because he shook a little bit when he sang. But the truth is, when you listen to Elvis songs today and you compare it to the stuff that's out there today, some of the stuff that I don't even know how they call it music, because, I mean, sometimes I don't even know what they're saying. My wife thought it was hilarious. She grew up listening to rock music. I did not. So one time I came home from a job that I was working on. They was playing music over the radio, and I came home singing Only Baloney, Baloney, Baloney. I had no idea why they were singing about baloney. And my wife started laughing, and I said, "What are you laughing about?" She said, "That's not what that song says." And I said, "Yes, it does." She said, "No, it's only the lonely, the lonely, the lonely." And I said, "Well, then they should learn to speak a little clearer, because all I got was baloney out of that." But the truth is, Elvis was clean compared to a lot of the stuff today. I mean, Elvis, I mean, he, trust me, the shaking that he does and the gyrations that he does, I mean, there are a lot of churches that have worse that goes on in their churches from the church choir than what Elvis did. And then my mom was worried about having to give up her shorts because she played on a softball team, because she realized, I mean, and again, she hadn't been to church much, but she saw the ladies at church wearing dresses, so she just thought, well, when I get saved, I'm going to have to start wearing dresses, and I can't listen to Elvis. And again, to you, Elvis was even bigger than the shorts, but I mean, she had a problem with that. I remember when I got saved, the first thing that I asked my preacher was, "Does this mean now that I'm saved that I have to give up cussing?" Because I like to cuss. Now, I like to cuss because cussing and temper went together, and I had a temper. And so when I lost my temper, I would cuss. And then I would get a whooping because I'd say things that I wasn't allowed to say. How many of you have ever had your mouth washed out with soap? My parents used to do that. It really didn't make my mouth any cleaner. It did make my mouth taste really bad because my mama used lava soap. Now, I can tell you, lava soap's bad enough on your body, but lava soap tastes really bad in your mouth. I had an aunt one time, I mean, my mom's sister. I was out at the farm at Grandpa's place, and she said, "Next time you cuss, next time you say a dirty word, I'm going to wash your mouth. I'm going to make you eat some cow manure." She said, if you're going to say those words, then I'm going to make you eat that stuff. And so you say, "Did you stop saying it?" "Yes, because I believed her." I don't know if she really would, but the lava soap was bad enough. I did not want to eat cow manure. But again, today parents are simply, "That's not nice. You're in timeout. Go stand in the corner and think about what you just said." Now, by the way, you don't really want them thinking about what they just said, because what they just said was bad. You don't really want them saying, all of a sudden, "You know, maybe I should have said it a little bit differently." But I got a lot of spankings when I was a kid. I got my mouth washed out with soap. So I'm experienced. I am so thankful that I have a forgiving God. We all do, by the way, if you're saved. The second thing I want you to think about is this. Not only does God forgive us, but he forgives us repeatedly. Notice in your Bible, 1 John, I mentioned this first a moment ago. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins," not sin, sins, I'm thankful for the next part. "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." When we confess those sins, he forgives those sins. And then he goes on and does this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, it's just like taking those dirty clothes, putting them in the washing machine, and you know what they come out? Clean. And you go out and you know what you do to them again? You get them dirty, and you put them back in the washing machine, and they come out clean. And by the way, that's what happens when we confess our sins. We confess our sins, he washes them with his, I mean, he forgives them, and we're clean again. Now, by the way, it is good for us to wash our clothes often. It is good for us to wash our souls often as well. It is good for us to keep, as Brother Nichols said, keep that tab short when it comes to confessed sin. But I'm so thankful that he forgives repeatedly. It's not a singular word. It's a plural word. I like what, again, when Jesus was talking to the disciples in Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, again, I've told you, I've never had anyone. I've had people that did the same thing to me a time or two, and that's pretty tough. I remember when I was young, so my dad said, that's why the Bible says turn the other cheek. And by the way, it doesn't tell you how many times you have to turn the cheek. I guess that's up to your discretion. But again, a Christian, when the Bible talks about turn the other cheek, what it simply is teaching us as Christians is we're not supposed to just go off on everyone that does us wrong. By the way, if God did that to us, we would be getting punished all the time. If you say, well, and by the way, it's funny that we as Christians, we don't hold ourselves, again, for some reason it's okay we want God to forgive us for all the times we've done wrong, but we have a hard time forgiving others for the times they do us wrong. By the way, we'll talk about that in a moment. That's not a very fair thing for you and I to do. It's not fair for us to expect God to keep forgiving us if we're not going to forgive others when they do us wrong. And that's why this conversation came up, and he said, how many times should I forgive them? Seven times? And by the way, seven times would be a lot. Could you imagine today if I walk up to you and I kicked you in the shin, and then I said to you, I'm sorry. And I turned around a couple minutes later and I kicked you in the shin again, and I said to you, I'm sorry. And you kept saying, that's okay, and I kick you in the shin again. Now, I can tell you, when I get to seven, you already are pretty tired of me kicking you in the shin. And you're already pretty tired of saying, that's okay. But could you imagine doing that 490 times? Now, I cannot. I honestly cannot. That's why there are some things that you and I struggle to. I mean, we struggle to live up to God's standard. That's because we're sinners and we're fleshly people. But the truth is, I guarantee you, I have kicked God in the shin and said, I'm sorry. And he said, that's all right. And I've kicked God in the shin and said, I'm sorry. And by the way, more than the seven times, maybe even more than the 490 times. Now, you say, you mean other sins? No, I'm talking about the same sin. Because, see, many of us have a besetting sin. And some days we whip it, some days it whips us. Now, I don't know what your besetting sin is, but everybody has one. We have something and by the way, the devil knows that is our sin. So until we build up some walls and get some strength to conquer it, he's just going to keep hitting us with that. I've never been a boxing fan, but one of the things that people typically when you're a boxer, you try to find out what the opponent's weakness is. Do the same thing in sports. I've coached many, many years, and in sports. Now, for instance, if you've ever watched a ball game, at the end of the game, if you're behind, you know what you're going to have to do at the end of the game? You have to start what? Fouling. Who do you want to foul? The guy who makes a very low percentage of free throws. That's who you want to foul. Now, the other team, if they're smart, they don't throw the ball to that guy. They throw the ball to the guy, and they make you foul the guy that shoots high percentage. Brother Sanders, wave at us, Brother Sanders. Brother Sanders, Mr. Sanders have a son. I always felt good when Blaine got fouled because Blaine could make them free throws. I've seen Blaine stand there and shoot. What's it? 99 out of 100. I mean, I've seen Blaine just stand there and go bloop, 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 bloop. So when they fouled Blaine, it was like, yeah, say, he's going to go on the free throw line. And by the way, back then they had what they called one and one. If you missed the first one, you didn't even get the second shot. You had to make the first one to get the second shot. But I didn't have to. Now, I had some players that shot 45, 50, 60%, which means if they missed the first one, we didn't even get a second shot. They only got one free throw, and they missed it. So at the end of the game, now you say, Bill Block, what did you do? I had to scout these teams, and I had to find out which players stunk at shooting free throws. And I would tell my players, foul number 42. Foul this guy. We wanted, and by the way, if all five of them were pretty good free throw shooters, we tried to foul the one that was the worst of the five. But again, understand, we do wrong, and we do wrong, and we have a weakness. We have a failing. All of us do. We're sinners. God keeps forgiving us. He forgives us repeatedly. I'm so thankful for that. Number three, God not only is a forgiving God, not only does he forgive repeatedly, but he forgives permanently. Notice in your Bible, Psalms 103, verse 12. You've heard people quote this, and I like it because it's a great verse. Notice Psalm 103, verse 12. This tells you what God does with our sins. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, to some of you, you may not have ever realized what that really means. Think about it. If you start at the North Pole and you go far enough, what do you hit? South Pole. There is a stopping point. North Pole to South Pole. South Pole you start, guess where you finally hit? North Pole. But start heading west. You know what happens if you head west? You head west far enough, it turns into what? East. Not a stopping point, it just blends in the east. And then you keep going east far enough, it turns into west. By the way, that's what he was trying to tell us. When I forgive you of your sins, they're gone. You can't find them anymore. You just keep going. I mean, you can look for them, but they're not. Now, again, I am so glad God does that. He forgives us as far as the east is from the west. Notice also in your Bible, Micah chapter 7, verse 19. I said God forgives permanently. He forgives and he forgets. Notice Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Man, that's good. Again, when he says he will turn again, he was mad at us because we failed him. We sinned. And then, by the way, he'll turn again because we ask him to forgive us. He turns again. I mean, that relationship is renewed. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now, I don't know if you realize, how many of you have ever went deep sea fishing? When you go deep sea fishing, you go out a few miles offshore, you'll be fishing 60, 70, 80 feet deep. But if you go on a 24-hour trip, they will take you out deeper. Deeper. When I say deeper, you don't even know when the fish is biting. The line is so long, you can't even tell when the fish is biting. Because the line is, they could be swimming circles down there. But the line is so long, what do they do? Every once in a while, they just reel it up to check to see if they have anything on the line. It is so deep that, I mean, now, and by the way, they don't fish in the deepest parts of the sea. The scientists tell us there are some parts of the ocean that's so deep, they haven't found how deep it is. They didn't have any way to measure it. It was so deep. What he's simply saying is, listen to me, when I forgive you, I really forgive you. Now, some of us tell someone, I forgive you. Here's the problem. We might, but we don't forget that they did it. Now, again, especially when it comes to husbands and wives, for some reason we have memories like elephants when it comes to our husbands and wives. I mean, we say, I forgive you, and then when that happens again, or something else comes up, you know what? We not only remember that sin, we remember all the other sins that's associated to that from the past. I'm so glad God doesn't do that. Every time I sin, God doesn't say, that's it. You know, you've been doing that for the last 45 years. Don't tell me you're sorry. You're really not sorry. If you're really sorry, you'd stop doing it. And by the way, you would think that's true. But here's the problem. We live in a fleshly body. And this flesh sometimes wins. This flesh sometimes defeats us. This flesh sometimes conquers us. We're not always the winner. We have a spiritual nature. And thank goodness for that. When you get saved, you get a new heart. But again, that old fleshly nature is still there. I really wish God had made it so simple that when we get saved, he took away all of our sinful nature. That would make Christianity, that would make living the Christian life so much easier. But he didn't do that. He didn't do away with the fleshly nature. He simply gave us something to combat, to battle with the fleshly nature. Now again, I'm glad that God forgives permanently. He forgives and he forgets. He puts us as far as the east is from the west. He buries it in the deepest sea. Now, again, we have a forgiving God. Number four, forgiveness brings salvation. I mentioned that I had two granddaughters that got saved on Thursday night. It is important for you to understand, if you're here tonight, or here this morning, I mean, and you have never been saved, nobody can get saved for you. I told my granddaughters, I wish I could do this for you, but I can't. Now, before Haley went out of town, she went to live with her dad for the last 6 months. I hadn't seen her. I could tell she was under conviction. We would start to talk about the Lord, and she'd get really quiet, talk about sin, and she'd get really quiet, and she'd quit answering questions and just clam up. And it bothered me so much because I thought, she's so close. She wouldn't admit she was a sinner. And by the way, if you don't admit you're a sinner, you can't get saved, because God doesn't save people who are not sinners. God only saves people from their sin. Now, I can tell you this morning, if you don't think you're a sinner, you are wrong. The Bible says we all sin and come short of the glory of God. So if you think this morning that you haven't committed any sin, you're wrong. But there is an age of innocence. Some of you may have had to deal with this before. You either have children that did not admit that they're sinners, or you might have even had, I know sometimes that goes because of mental, young people that are challenged mentally, sometimes they might even be older. Many of you know Douglas, who sits down in the front row with me when Brother Nicholas preaches. Douglas was several years old before he got saved. Because it took Douglas a while. Douglas didn't understand that he was a sinner at age 5 or 6 or 7 like most church kids do. I asked Thane yesterday. I said, Thane, when did you get saved? Because I was telling him about Haley getting saved. He said, I got saved when I was 3. And I remember that, because at the time I was thinking, 3 is awful young. But by the way, there are some kids that at 3 or 4 or 5 years of age, I mean, know what's going on. I often say this, many of our church kids know all the answers before they understand the question. They know the answers. They know what they need to do. But again, till they understand that they're a sinner, till they know that they need Christ, you and I, as much as we want to lead them into prayer, as much as we want them to get saved. And by the way, you can get a child to pray a prayer, but if they don't understand they're a sinner, the problem is at 9 or 10 or 11 or 12, they're going to have to truly get saved because they didn't even understand what they was doing. They just simply prayed a prayer. And by the way, praying prayers doesn't save people. If it did, a larger portion of larger portion of the world would be saved. Praying's not enough. It is a matter of admitting you're a sinner, admitting that to God, and then asking Him for forgiveness. I remember when they got ahead of me when I was showing them the Romans road and showing them how to get saved. I said, Jesus died for you on the cross. And then one of them piped up and said, but he came up out of the grave, didn't he? And I thought, slow down. Let Grandpa tell the story, all right? I mean, give me time. I'm going to get there. But I said, yes, he did. He did raise up out of the grave. And by the way, you say, is the resurrection all that important? Oh, yes, it is. Because if he hadn't came up out of the grave, he was like any other great man or woman who had died for a cause. And many great men and women have died for a cause throughout the centuries. Jesus Christ wasn't just a man. Jesus Christ was God-man. And that's what made Jesus Christ different. But again, he forgives us and he brings salvation. Notice Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, notice verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, notice verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now notice what it says, in whom we have redemption. You know what redemption means? To buy back. Jesus, now he already owned us, he made us, but then we became, we're sinners. So if at that time, if you'd wanted to know who your spiritual father was, it was the devil. Right. Said, Brother Block, your spiritual father is the devil before you get saved? Yes. By the way, if you die without Christ, you go live with your father. He's going to be in hell. If you get saved, when you die, you get to go live with your father, which is heaven. But the truth is, before I was saved, my father was the devil. I had an earthly father. My spiritual father was the devil. I was a sinner. But redemption happened. Jesus bought me back through his blood. Notice what it said, the forgiveness of sins. I am so thankful that God, at age 9, Jesus forgave me. Now, he wants to forgive everybody. The truth is, his forgiveness is big enough. His mercy is great enough that he has enough mercy and forgiveness for the whole world. The whole world won't be saved. Because there are a lot of people that made up their mind, you know what? I've got this. I talked to someone this week that said, you know what? I don't even believe in God. I don't believe in a God that rules with fear. By the way, I said, God is far more than... By the way, God does. He is a holy and a righteous God. So you can't do away with the fear of God because, by the way, if you're smart, you'd fear him. But at the same time, and I tell people this, it's actually if you have a good relationship, if you have the correct relationship with your parents, you understand that same relationship. Because there was times I feared my dad. But you know the only times I had to fear my dad? When I did wrong. I didn't ever have to fear my dad when I get right. My dad did not punish me for doing right. My dad punished me for doing wrong. I didn't have to be afraid of my dad lest I had done something I shouldn't have done. Now, by the way, I did not have to cringe in fear every time he walked by me. I didn't duck every time he raised his hand. I know people that do that. I've seen animals that do that. You can tell an animal that's been abused by the way it responds to you when you just raise your hand or you just get close to it. There's some of them that have been beaten so much and abused so much that they think everybody is going to abuse them. But again, our Heavenly Father is a God of righteousness, but he does not rule with fear. The truth is, you want to live for yourself, you can. You're going to miss out on a lot of blessings. You're going to miss out on a lot of rewards, but he doesn't make you serve him after you get saved. He asks you to. He wants you to. He blesses you and I if we do. By the way, you do wrong, he will punish you because he's your Heavenly Father and he's a righteous God. But I said, you know what? I serve a God that loves me. I serve him because he loves me so much. And by the way, one of the ways he shows me how much he loves me is by his forgiveness of me. I mean, the forgiveness of my sins regularly. He shows me his love. And I said to him, he said, well, I don't know that I believe that. I said, you know what? You got saved when you was a child. You can't lose that. But I said, can you imagine as a parent, and this is a terrible thought for me, I said, as a parent, because he says, well, good, I got this. And I said, I hope you have enough sense to realize someday. I said, if you stand before God and you go to heaven, and you have to look across there and your child, who you don't think needs to get saved, dies and goes for an eternity to hell, I can't even imagine the feeling a parent would have and the agony a parent would feel knowing that they thought they had it. We've had young people here that had to get saved against their parents' wishes. Their mom and dad had told them. I mean, and by the way, we've had kids that got saved, and then mom and dad never let them come to our church again. You know why? Because they got saved here. And their mom and dad didn't believe in that. Their mom and dad believed in the rituals of some other church and believed in things to do to get to heaven, not salvation. You say, didn't you feel bad about that? Yes, I did. And I was so excited that they got saved before they left our church. Because, by the way, mom and dad, no matter how much mom and dad want to, mom and dad cannot take that away from their child. Their child got saved. And if we pick them up and they only get saved and we never get them again, we're just going to keep picking them up and getting them saved, because that is such a blessing to know that all those young people will go to heaven someday because they rode a bus and got saved at Liberty Baptist Church. But again, forgiveness brings salvation. Notice Colossians chapter 1 in your Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Notice what it says. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I am so thankful that salvation is through Jesus. Now, Adam brought sin to us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, again, it tells us that because of one man, sin entered into the world. By the way, that was Adam and Eve. It started back then. And I'm so thankful that righteousness, that salvation came by one man, and that was Jesus Christ, also told to us in Romans chapter 5. But again, because of that sin nature that we adopted, everyone in this room is a sinner. You were born a sinner. David said, in sin my mother conceived me. Now, you don't have to have a child very long for you to realize they're a sinner. Carl's had a baby just a short time. Carl, your baby's a sinner. If you haven't figured that out yet, sometimes they cry, not because they're hurting, not because they're hungry, not because they're sick. They cry because they're not getting their way. They cry because you're not doing what they want you to do. Maybe it's pick them up. Maybe it's carry them around. The truth is, even before a child realizes he's a sinner, mom and dad realizes he's a sinner or she's a sinner. Now, they may not realize, by the way, until they realize they're a sinner. If you read your Bible, you'll see that David talked about seeing his son again. Now, his son died as a baby. How could David see his son again? Because a baby's protected, a child that's innocent, that doesn't. The Bible says what sin is to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. To him it is sin. We become a sinner, not because, now again, we're born a sinner, but we actually have to be accountable for our sin when we finally come to the realization that I've done wrong. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't act like that. That's when in God's eyes we become, now I understand, we're born in sin. We already are a sinner, but at that point we become accountable to God for our sin. Adam brought that on. Now you could say, Brother Block, I can't believe Adam did that to us. By the way, if you and I had been in the garden, we probably would have done the same thing. Because the truth is, we don't have to give in to our flesh, but we still do. We don't have to let our flesh defeat us daily, but by the way, it still does. I mean, we have a choice, just as he had a choice. We can either do right or do wrong, and there's times we choose to do right. It's not, by the way, sometimes it's not that we're pushed or shoved to do wrong. Sometimes we willingly step into it, because we're sinners by nature. Number 5, I'm so thankful that forgiveness is immediate. Notice Romans chapter 10. This happened on Thursday night to my granddaughter. It says, for whosoever shall call, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The moment Haley asked Jesus to forgive her, that moment Jesus did and she got saved. Salvation is immediate. It's immediate. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He doesn't say, now, there are times you and I order stuff, you and I make a call, and it will be delivered in 10 days or 2 weeks or 6 weeks. I'm glad we don't have to wait on salvation. The moment you call upon Jesus, the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he comes in and saves you. Same thing happens after we're saved. Each time you and I ask him to forgive us, he does. He cleanses us. He comes and immediately cleans us. I am so thankful that, again, forgiveness is immediate. I don't have time to cover this, but by the way, when it comes to forgiveness, we're supposed to forgive others as well. He tells us in Matthew that if we bring our offering to the altar, and when we get there, remember that someone has ought against us. If we have problems with someone else, we're supposed to leave our prayer there, go take care of that, and then come back and finish taking care of business. We're supposed to forgive others as Jesus forgave us. And then I'll stop. Jesus is our constant example. He asked God to forgive us on the cross. He still intercedes now on our behalf. By the way, that forgiveness brings results. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. By the way, seek my face. You know what he says? I'll heal their land. You know what America needs? America needs more Christians getting forgiveness for their sins. Not more people getting saved, although that would be nice too. But he doesn't put the responsibility on a lost people getting saved, making their land get healing. He makes it upon the Christian. Getting right brings healing to the land. If you wonder why America is so wicked today, it's because Christians are so wicked today. It's because we're not the kind of Christians we should be. Oh, yes, the lost. By the way, the lost are acting that way because they're lost. That's their natural way to act. They don't know any better. But you and I do. Because you and I have a Holy Spirit that came in when we got saved, and he convicts us, and he talks to us on a regular basis, lets us know that we should or shouldn't be doing certain things, and tells us to stay away from certain things, and tells us to quit acting certain ways. When we start doing that, God promises to heal our land. He'll forgive our sins, and he'll heal our land. If you're here today without Christ, if you cannot go back to a time and place you ask Christ to save you, now is the accepted time, he says. Today should be the day that you get saved. You don't want to put it off, because we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. Now, I am so thankful that